your prescription for freedom and giving you a voice every week. This is Armed American Radio, coming to you from the Crossbreed Holster Studios. Now, here's Mark Walters.
In those Crossbreed Holster Studios, the studio monitors were kicking out some Frank Sinatra. Just a few minutes ago, we were singing right along with that stuff, and all of a sudden, Ted Nugent AAR opening came on. We talk about shifting gears. Woo! Yeah, gotta love that stuff. The beginning of your week. This is it. It starts right now. Welcome to the program. It's always a pleasure to start your week with you. That's right. This is not the end of your week. No. This is the beginning of your week. And I will be filling your prescription for freedom beginning today and every single day thereafter throughout the week. I love this part of the day. Love this part of the day. I get to talk with you about some lately it's been like the middle of the night. You know, wake up, check the news, do some stuff. You know, I know they say don't get on your electronic devices, don't do that stuff. And I can't help it. It's just part of me. And I find this from the New York Times. And there's something about wanting to throw up at 3:30 in the morning when you haven't eaten bad food or drank too much crappy cheap booze or something like that. Maureen Dowd will kind of do that to you from time to time. And the title of her op-ed yesterday in the New York Times was Obama's Flickering Greatness. And I got to thinking, flickering greatness? What greatness? Show me one thing this punk, this Chicago punk has done that's great. Obamacare? That's a mess. I mean, this guy's entire legacy is going to be determined by court decisions. But the opening paragraph or a couple sentences in Maureen Dowd's piece, her op-ed, really caught me. Take a listen. She's talking about on Saturday mornings. I'll just quote her. On Saturday mornings, I love to watch reruns of the TV Western, The Rifleman. Each show is a little moral fable with Chuck Connors' widowed rancher and crackshot Lucas McCain teaching his son Mark about actions and consequences. And I thought, Maureen Dowd hates the right to bear arms. This is a very conservative, traditional American value show. If you've ever seen The Rifleman, it's fabulous. And she goes on to woo and talk about Obama and how he's wasting his greatness. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, I don't see anything Lucas McCain or the Rifleman in Barack Obama. Trust me, that little photograph of him in his mom jeans with the rifle a couple years ago, trying to make you believe he understands your right to bear arms. Please. And she goes down further into the piece and she talks about how weak he's been and how his greatness is withering, that he just can't seem to play the game, that he doesn't understand how things work. And she goes on to mention how he couldn't even get a majority when 90%, remember this phony statistic? 90% of Americans wanted gun control. She says, quoting, "The president also showed his ineptness at vote counting, working the system, and leveraging when he got only 54 votes in the Senate for gun curbs." You know what gun curbs are, right? That means infringements on your right to keep and bear arms. When he got only 54 votes in the Senate for gun curbs that 90% of Americans wanted. 90% of Americans, huh? It's not hard to go back and find the facts. Why? Because we have, you know, that pesky guy, John Lott. and his Crime Prevention Research Center, CPRC. You can visit that at crimeresearch.org. I highly recommend you do that because with today's modern technology, you can just type a few keys and boom, up comes the truth. And apparently Maureen Dowd gathers the truth from the fiction in her mind, in her mind's eye. Because she clearly doesn't check the CPRC, it would behoove her to do so. Titling a piece back on December 24th, 2013, which was about a month after she's claiming Barack Obama couldn't muster anything up in the Senate, which, by the way, he controlled. Remember those claims that 80 to 90% of Americans wanted expanded background checks? Well, they were clearly wrong. That's according to John Lott and the CPRC. Well, how can that possibly be? You see, Michael Bloomberg and Shannon Watts, Moms Demand Action, what a silly name that is, by the way, repeated that claim over and over and over again. And they included in that repeating that mantra of theirs, 74% support background checks for all gun sales, talking about NRA members. And that was a poll, John points out, was paid for by Bloomberg. But there was a Pew Research Center poll that got to the issue and made it more accurate. According to John, it asks people not skewed numbers or skewed questions as the 80 to 90% do. It asks people whether they're happy that the Senate gun control bill was stopped. Remember that? And that was with an overwhelming majority of Americans, Republicans, Democrat, and Independent, by 51 to 34% margin. By 51 to 34% margin. The 90% number was a fake number on a fake question, asking Americans if they supported background checks. You see, you have to realize that we already have background checks. So, yet again, Moms Demand Action, Shannon Watson, Bloomberg lie to people to get the answers that they want, and then they go back and they repeat these claims. And I found that interesting that as she's lamenting Barack Obama's flickering greatness, in her words, that she continues to push the phony statistic that 90% of Americans agreed with her. And the Bloomberg money-grubbing, Shannon Watt liar, lie. And we know that's not the case. Because let me tell you something. Here we go back to common sense in America again. Let's take that term back. If 90% of Americans agreed overwhelmingly on anything, I can promise you it would be law. Promise you. The legislative bodies in the House and the Senate would be paying attention. What did they used to say back then? You couldn't get 90% of Americans to agree that peanut butter tastes good? 90% of Americans don't agree on anything. And if they did, it would be law. So just more lies from Maureen Dowd and the rest of them. And I just found that at night and I thought, you know, that's interesting. Let's talk about that. But there's something else that she might have wanted to talk just a little bit about. Because, you see, if she really did watch The Rifleman, then she apparently missed episode 154, which was episode 12, I believe, in season 5 of The Rifleman. It was titled The Anvil Chorus. I played for you a portion, about a two-minute portion of that a couple years back. And I apologize, I've been unable to find that clip. I really wanted to play it for you. However, it is a piece about a new sheriff in town who takes over for the old sheriff who's like out on vacation or going somewhere doing something. Nils is his name. And during some celebratory gunfire during a wedding in town, as the sheriff or marshal or whatever he is, he institutes a gun control. The town, he declares the town gun-free zone. And of course, Lucas says, I'm not giving you my rifle. I'm not giving up my guns. He later abides by the law. When a pack of roving criminals come in and find out that the town is gun-free and continue to plot then their crime of robbing the bank because they call it, quote, a town full of sitting ducks, they're unarmed. At which point, of course, when they go to rob the bank, the rifleman rides to the rescue and with his firearms stops the crime. And the criminals admit that they thought because it was a gun-free town they could get away with it. I guess Maureen Dowd missed that rifleman. Or maybe she would know better. That an armed society is, in fact, a polite society when law-abiding citizens have access to their firearms. When we come back, Alan Gottlieb will be here. We'll talk a little bit about a couple upcoming cases. We'll be back right after this.
Way too often we hear stories of law-abiding gun owners being labeled as vigilantes and the violent thugs being painted as sweet, harmless kids. Here's the thing. If you own a firearm and are forced to use it to protect your loved ones, your toughest battle might very well happen afterwards in the courtroom. You need to know your rights and understand exactly what happens after the smoke clears. And that's the reason the United States Concealed Carry Association exists. So if you go to defendfamilynow.com right now, you can download our groundbreaking guide that will arm you with 18 proven strategies for effective self-defense that will help you stay out of jail, out of bankruptcy court, and home with your family when you're forced to defend your loved ones with a gun. This guide is 100% free, and the 18 strategies it contains could very well save your life one day. Simply visit DefendFamilyNow.com to download your 100% free guide. Again, that's DefendFamilyNow.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Emerson Knives is the first company completely dedicated to producing knives for self-defense, law enforcement, and military applications. The Emerson CQC-7 is the most influential tactical folder of all time. Carried in places not found on any roadmap, the CQC-7 should be carried whether you're at a movie with your family or kicking in doors in Iraq. The CQC-7 is on duty with the select few who have known the chaos of conflict. For your own CQC-7, visit EmersonKnives.com. That's EmersonKnives.com.
The Magnum Research Baby Desert Eagle family of handguns. Excellent handgun protection with plenty of firepower. With a crisp double-action, single-action trigger pull. And available in 9mm, 40 Smith & Wesson, and 45 ACP. The Baby Desert Eagle handgun line comes in several barrel lengths. And your pick of steel or polymer frame. All models come with slide-mounted decocking safety, upgraded fixed combat sights, and several models feature tactical rails. Visit MagnumResearch.com or your local dealer today.
The Super Tuck by Crossbreed Holsters, the most comfortable and concealable holster available on the market today. Is it any wonder why it's the most copied design on the planet? Used by law enforcement and civilians around the world, the Super Tuck by Crossbreed is adjustable for ride depth and cant, often imitated but never duplicated. The Super Tuck holster is available for a wide variety of popular carry guns. For more information and to order your Super Tuck, visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. That's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
Carrying spare magazines is always a great idea. The Crossbreed holster outside the waistband mag carrier is the most comfortable OWB rig on the market today. The Crossbreed mag carrier provides great retention and a high ride, enabling total concealment and immediate access under only a light cover garment. Available for single or dual magazines, these incredibly comfortable magazine carriers may just save your life one day. Crossbreed holsters, often imitated but never duplicated. To order your Crossbreed mag carrier, visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. That's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
Hey, what's up? It's AAR Shanto here. Every day you hear the passion that we have for freedoms here in America. I also have other passions, and every week you can check out what that passion is. I've started a new web series. Yes, believe it or not, with all the other things that I have going on, I went and did it. I started a web series, and I think you're going to like it. If you want to see one of my hobbies, all you got to do is check out irfnews.com. That's irfnews.com.
Yeah.
The following segment of Armed American Radio is proudly being sponsored by the Second Amendment Foundation. Join them, won't you, at saf.org.
Welcome back to the Crossbreed Holster Studios. I am Mark Walters, and I am filling your prescription for freedom. I'm joined now by Alan Gottlieb, he's the real deal. He's your friend, he's my friend, and he's fighting for our right to keep and bear arms while most of us are asleep, quite frankly. When I tell you that you need to keep toothpicks under your eyes, Alan's got toothpicks under his eyes. Alan, welcome to the show. Thank you for everything you do. Every time we have you on, I have to thank you for what you do.
Well, Mark, thank you for all your kind words. It's really great to be back with you.
Hey, I have a question for you, Alan. I guess Sean got a hold of you a little bit early, so you were able to hear part of that first segment?
Yes, it was excellent, as a matter of fact.
Maureen Dowd, did you ever watch The Rifleman?
Oh, yeah. It was one of my favorite shows growing up.
Exactly. This is a show that's known for its conservative, you know, traditional teachings. The Rifleman, Chuck Connors, played by Chuck Connors, is always teaching Mike. Maureen was right in that respect, that he's always teaching these moral lessons. At the, he uses that show each half hour or hour to teach him, you know, a great lesson. And I guess she missed that episode when it was when the moral of the story was taking away good people's guns leaves them defenseless, the entire town, and the criminals saw that and took advantage of it. When I saw her op-ed, I actually watched The Rifleman too. I guess she thinks a lot of us don't, but I thought, well, she must have missed that episode. Was the analysis there a good one, you think?
I think your analysis was excellent. So was in the show it was as well. I mean, it's a given fact. I mean, at this point, it's not conjecture. I mean, when people are disarmed, we know that they're, you know, easy prey to become a victim, and criminals know that.
Well, I'd like to point out that that episode aired on December 17th, 1962. So that was a message from quite some time ago. And, of course, the show was set back in the early or mid-1880s. So it's really fascinating, and to see an unabashed liberal not be, I mean, she just overlooked that completely, no doubt about that, because that was a show that just, you know, gives us all those traditional values. So anyway, I got a kick out of that. I saw that at 4:30 in the morning. I said, you know, it'd be fun to open the program with it. Hey, one other thing too, Gilligan's Island. Who's never seen Gilligan's Island, right?
Well, not if you're my age. Of course, you've seen it.
Gazillions and gazillions of times. You may not remember this, and maybe you, listener, wherever you happen to be, maybe you don't remember this either, but did you know the minnow was armed? Did you know the skipper and Gilligan had a firearm? They just ran out of bullets in, like, the first episode. Sean, did you know that?
Yes, I do remember that.
Yes, I think we've talked about it here, but that's little-known stuff that you don't see on TV anymore. But, you know, who would have ever thought it? My kids are just now discovering Gilligan's Island. It's a lot of fun to go back and watch the reruns. And sure enough, I went out and bought them, Alan, you know, the big giant kits, you know, the DVD sets. And sure enough, on those pilots, they're armed. And I thought that was pretty interesting because nowadays, Woody in Toy Story has an empty holster. Oh, boy.
Yeah, I mean, Hollywood today not being on our side, unless they can make money by putting a gun into a movie, yeah, they're not going to do it.
Which is pretty much every movie that they make, yet the hypocrisy drips. Okay, let's go back to, there's a couple cases I want to talk with you about. You and I exchanged a couple emails this week, and I thought it was interesting because if you look at the two headlines, Yahoo, news at yahoo.com, Constitution check, are gun rights withering away? What they're referring to here is the Supreme Court refusing to take a case in San Francisco, which requires to this day firearms to be locked in a safe of some sort, and the Supreme Court refused to take that case. Can you give us some details on this?
Yeah, I'd like to give you some details on it because, quite frankly, putting maybe good spin on why they didn't take it rather than the bad spin the other side puts on it.
Good. Let's have it.
Most people don't know because they've only read about the bill in the media. They didn't read about the San Francisco legislation, you know, where they actually read it line by line. And one of the reasons why the Supreme Court may not have taken that is because it really wasn't an absolute lock up your safety, you know, law in San Francisco. It said that if you were in your house and you had the gun on your person, it was perfectly fine. If it was not on your person, you then had to have it locked up. So while a lot of people are talking about how this particular piece of legislation was an absolute ban on a functional firearm in your own home and why the Supreme Court should or should not take it if anywhere side you're on, the truth is it wasn't that clear. because if it was on your person, it was okay. So the Supreme Court may not have had enough votes to take that as the absolute test case for a storage bill that infringes totally on your rights. While I would oppose the bill anyway because I think it does infringe on our rights to a large extent, it really wasn't the absolute ban, so to speak, that people were making out to be on both sides of the question. And a lot of people didn't realize that because we just looked at the headlines or what people would say about it. But it allowed you to have a gun loaded on your on your person in your home.
Right.
That muddied the waters a little bit, and maybe the Supreme Court felt that wasn't the clean enough case that they wanted to take. That's one possibility. Another possibility from our point of view could be the fact that a lot of us felt that this law should have been challenged not in federal court on Second Amendment grounds, but should have been challenged in state court on preemption grounds because San Francisco does not have the right in California to make laws stricter than the state law. And this is another case where they've done it. And, you know, in the past, we've knocked down San Francisco anti-gun laws in state court time and time again under preemption. And so everybody wondered why this wasn't taken that way. And maybe there's some justice in the Supreme Court that felt, you know, this problem is going to get rectified without us having to take the case because all somebody has to do is file this in state court and the law is going to go bye-bye anyway.
It's fascinating. I did read deeper into that. And interestingly, you know where I first saw that analysis was in Bloomberg, Bloomberg.com, in a piece titled NRA Rejected by U.S. Supreme Court on San Francisco gun law. See, this is the headline surfers. If you're a headline surfer, you need to, I hope you heard what Alan just said. You have got to go past these bias headlines. If you take a listen to this, NRA rejected by U.S. Supreme Court on San Francisco gun law. And it's quite fascinating, Alan. Later down below in the article, it says, San Francisco's ordinance allows citizens to carry loaded and unlocked handguns on their person at any time, including in a holster, the city argued. It also allows citizens to store loaded handguns within an easily opened lockbox rather than having it disassembled or bound by a trigger lock at all times, which is exactly what you just described. And when I read that, I thought, okay, this might not be as bad as it appears if you just headline surf, because San Francisco, unlike D.C., and the plaintiffs argued Heller in this San Francisco case to try to get the Supreme Court to take it, San Francisco said, well, wait a minute, we don't have a complete ban like Washington did. So these are mutually exclusive events, right?
Correct, and that's why maybe it wasn't the right case to try to take up to the Supreme Court.
Okay.
And maybe the court, knowing this law is going to be struck down in state court on a different kind of challenge anyway, couldn't get enough votes to hear the case. So it may not have been that they really were anti-gun. It may have felt there's a different way to handle this case than them taking it. And they wrestled with this for like a number of weeks. It was on their calendar, just, you know, and if they were going to take it or not take it, and it hung around a long time before they finally said, no, we're not going to review the case. Also, another reason they may not have taken the case is there's a lot of activity in the Ninth Circuit on gun cases. One that's going to have oral arguments, you know, before the court en banc on Tuesday, headed out tomorrow.
And you will be there.
I will be there. And it could be that they're looking at that case because maybe they want to take that case and they don't want to take two different gun cases coming out of the same circuit.
That sounds like it might be the case. Alan, I need you to hold that thought. When we come back, we'll continue with that. And I want to read you a quote from Thomas and Scalia, the two who felt the court should have taken it, when we come back here on Armed American Radio, right after this, with Alan Gottlieb.
WWTC Minneapolis, St. Paul.
A service of Salem Communications.
Every month, Heather Cook helps dozens of people file claims for life insurance bought through SelectQuote. The stories she tells are inspiring. Like this one about Joe, a 39-year-old research analyst. Joe was healthy, but with a wife and two sons, he realized he needed life insurance just in case. Joe called SelectQuote. His agent, Scott, shopped a number of highly rated term life companies, and though Joe's budget was tight, got him a $1 million policy he could afford. Last April, Joe died from heart failure. But thanks to his life insurance through SelectQuote, his family can keep the house, and the boys can go to college. See how affordable SelectQuote can make just in case for you.
For a free quote, call 1-800-953-5428. 1-800-953-5428. 1-800-953-5428. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Here's Nelson Schmidt and Paula Sattler, the father-daughter team at Schmidt Law. Dad, counterfeit products are a serious issue.
According to the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime, counterfeit products are traded internationally for hundreds of billions of dollars.
Counterfeit products exist in many markets, and it's often difficult to tell the difference between the real deal and a fake product.
Call Schmidt Law.
We'll assist you in identifying red flags that indicate you may be receiving phony products.
While purchasing and selling counterfeit products is a global problem that cannot be definitively solved, we will help you safeguard your business and your customers by reviewing your current agreements and drafting agreements with new suppliers.
At Schmidt Law, we have over 40 years experience practicing law and guiding businesses like yours.
In addition to counterfeit issues, we can help you in regulatory matters, leases and non-compete clauses, employee relations and product performance claims.
Call us for a free initial consultation.
We'll roll up our sleeves and get to work for you.
The father-daughter team of Schmidt Law. Visit their website to see how Schmidt Law can assist your business. Online at schmidtlawmn.com.
Hello, this is Kevin Waterston with the Cremation Society of Minnesota, Minnesota's largest provider of cremation services. Last year, cremation was chosen by over half the families in the state, and it's easy to see why. Cremation is simple, dignified, economical, and environmentally friendly. That's why every year, thousands of Minnesotans throughout the state choose to pre-plan with the Cremation Society of Minnesota. It is an important step in giving your family the peace of mind that at the time of need, vital decisions have been taken care of. Confident that the services they are looking for will be provided without feeling any pressure at a difficult time. If cremation is your choice, or if you have any questions about cremation, call us today at 612-825-2435. That's 612-825-2435. Look us up online at cremationsocietyofmn.com. The Cremation Society of Minnesota, the new tradition.
You work hard for your family. Every day, your hand is on the plow, your nose to the grindstone. Because if you don't do it, it won't get done. You've earned some fun at the Run, Deer Run Golf Club. Hang out with like-minded men, enjoy a good cigar, and celebrate your latest business conquest. Kick back with a cold beverage in their quaint Irish pub. There's no stuffy country club attitude. The Deer Run staff will treat you like a prince among princes. At Deer Run, the magic and the mystery of the original game invented by Scottish shepherds is alive and thriving. The course is impeccable. You'll be challenged. But if you set your mind to it, you can beat it, just like everything else in your world. Your soul yearns for freedom. Come, you hard-working family man. Get away from it all for just a few hours. You deserve it. Just minutes south of Lake Minnetonka in beautiful Victoria. Online at DeerRunGolf.com.
And family now.
For more information and to join the conversation, please visit Armed American Radio on Facebook and ArmedAmericanRadio.com. And now, from the Crossbreed Holster Studios, here is Mark Walters.
From the Crossbreed Holster Studios, couple things. Father's Day is coming up. Crossbreed Holsters has the ultimate gifts for your fathers, sons, brothers, who might be fathers, for their gun-carrying needs. Crossbreedholsters.com. Please check over there. Please head over there and check out everything they have. All you need to know is the type of gun they carry. That you do need to know. You don't want to guess on that. But a belt. Holds up the holster that carries the gun. So they've got some great products over there. They've got Father's Day specials. Make sure you head over there. Also, USCCA On Air. Check out the training videos. All three videos are up right now. USCCA On Air. We created that site specifically for you, Armed American Radio and Armed American Radio Daily Defense listeners, to see all the very cool stuff going on and all of the promotions. You can check right there. Every time there's a new promotion, it's up on that page, USCCA On Air. People are winning. People are learning. People are joining. Be one of them. United States Concealed Carry Association, the ultimate resource for the armed citizen. I can promise you that. If you join, you can also read my stuff in Concealed Carry Magazine. Welcome back to the program. It's a pleasure to have you joining us here. On Flag Day, by the way, I hope you're flying it and displaying it proudly. And we're talking with the great Alan Gottlieb, the founder of the Second Amendment Foundation, a good friend, and believe me, a very good friend of yours as a freedom-loving American. Alan, I want to go back quickly to the Bloomberg piece before we let this slide and talk about the other cases that you're involved in and we'll be heading out to actually this week in front of the Ninth Circuit. A quote from this Bloomberg piece says, the rebuff is a setback for gun rights advocates who have repeatedly tried and failed in recent years to get the high court to expand the protections under the Second Amendment. The two dissenting justices, as I said before the break, Thomas and Scalia, said lower courts are ignoring 08 and 2010 Supreme Court decisions, of course the 2008 being the Heller decision, and the 2010 decision being the McDonald decision, which you are were neck deep in, that interpreted the Second Amendment as protecting individual rights. Quoting, despite the clarity with which we described the Second Amendment's core protection for the right of self-defense, lower courts, including the ones here, have failed to protect it, Thomas wrote for the pair. Thomas and Scalia said they would have heard the appeal filed by six San Francisco residents and groups, including the NRA. Does anything you heard there surprise you?
No, it doesn't surprise me. And, of course, we're trying very hard to get another case to the Supreme Court. And I agree with, you know, the two justices there, Thomas and Scalia, saying that a lot of lower courts are thumbing their noses at the Supreme Court's decisions. And that's really true, and it bothers me greatly. So I can understand why it bothered those two particular judges greatly as well, because we have a lot of cases ruled by man, not ruled by law, and the courts are making things up along the way to try and get around or pretend that Heller or McDonald didn't exist. And so there's some truth to what they're saying there, and that's what we're trying to overcome. And I think the only way we're going to get that, really to overcome that, is to get at least another case quickly to the U.S. Supreme Court, right. And that's what everybody is trying to do.
All right. Both the Heller and the McDonald were 5-4 decisions. So having said that, when only Scalia and Thomas voted to take this case, and I guess we should now tell you that four of the justices are required in order for a case to be heard. There were two in this case, as you just heard, Scalia and Thomas. What does it say when we have the liberal justices and two more conservatives or moderate, the swing in there, refusing also? Can we make anything out of that?
Well, we can make out of it the fact that the four liberal judges are going to vote against anything for Second Amendment rights, and if it were up to them, they shred the Heller and McDonald decisions. So that means we have to be able to hold the five right-of-center judges, so to speak, at all times in order to get a Supreme Court win. And again, looking at the San Francisco one, it wasn't an absolute ban. That may have cost us one of the votes there, and so that's why maybe it didn't get taken. So we're not going to get everything we want out of this particular court, and therefore we have to be a little careful and pick and choose, you know, how we're going to get there, in which case you should come first to help build case law on the way up. Now, let me be honest about it. If the appeals court would have said that San Francisco law was, quote-unquote, unconstitutional, and it would have taken it out, then the U.S. Supreme Court, my guess is, would have heard the case because it would have taken out a law, and somehow the government gets a better hand or better chance getting appeals to the Supreme Court than individuals attacking laws do. So if we get an appeals court to say, like, let me give a good example, if the Wren case now in Washington, D.C., which is a challenge to their carry law, right. If we won it at the trial court level, if the appeals court level also agrees with us, I guarantee you the Supreme Court will take that case. But if the appeals court doesn't agree with us getting an appeal to the Supreme Court may be difficult. So unfortunately, it isn't exactly a level playing field that we're playing with, and that bothers me greatly, too.
Okay. When you get bothered about these things, and you are involved in so many cases, that concerns me, too, and it should concern you also wherever you're listening to Alan Gottlieb's voice today. You need to be paying attention to what he's saying here. This is a man who knows what's happening inside our judicial system when it comes to defending our right to keep and bear arms. I should say, now, this might be a good opportunity, Alan, I'm sure you'll agree with me, this also highlights the importance of the 2016 election. My gosh, with the court as divided as it is along ideological lines, particularly on this topic that we concern ourselves with here on Armed American Radio, the next president, no doubt, will have an opportunity. The guess is two or three Supreme Court justices to nominate. Is that right?
Probably you're correct, and if any of those five justices that ruled our way in McDonald and our way in Heller are no longer on the court, and a bad guy gets to appoint who that judge is going to be, we are in big trouble.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely something that we cannot ignore at this stage of the game. While we have gotten victories in both the 08 and the 2010 Heller decisions, they are precarious. There's no question about it. So it's very, very important that we stop that from happening in 2016. Lord knows what Hillary Clinton would do if she were elected and put into the White House. Okay, we've got this segment. I hope you can stay with us for the next segment as well, because I want to talk with you about San Francisco. You're heading to the Ninth Circuit on Tuesday. Tell us.
Yeah, I'm actually heading there tomorrow, but on Tuesday are the oral arguments for the Ninth Circuit Court in Banc on both the Peruta case and the Richards case in California, which are both the carry challenges to the carry laws and how they're implemented in California. We won it at the appeals court level on both those two cases, and now the panel in Banc is reviewing those cases. And unfortunately, it doesn't look like we drew a very good panel. So I'm very concerned that the en banc panel may take away our victory there, and then we have to have the Supreme Court take that case, or the laws would stand in California and wipe out some key victories we have. That's why these judges are so important. And unfortunately, the ideological-driven judges on the left are absolutely amazing with this stuff when it comes to guns, because if it was any other issue, they'd be ruling our way based on the law or the Constitution. But because it deals with guns, they just look the other way and make stuff up so that, it, you know, without realizing, quite frankly, it's going to come back and bite them in the long run, because they're setting precedents that are going to be used back against them in areas that the Bill of Rights that they care about.
Now, that was not what I wanted to hear. And we get ready to go into the break, because we've had such, in both of those cases, we've had some really some oddly strange rulings in our favor out of the Ninth Circuit. So what is it? I'll let you take this into the break. We've got about another minute before we go to break. Explain to us, well, when you say we might not have drawn such a good panel. What do you mean by that?
Well, unfortunately, liberal Democrats have appointed liberal Democrats to the court in more than half the seats in the Ninth Circuit. And so when they did the lottery drawing, or however they decide who the judges are on the en banc panel, there's 10 of them plus the Chief Justice, so I don't believe we'll be voting, because he was one of the votes against us on Peruta, and he voted for us on Richards, but only because Peruta was already decided the same day. I don't think he's going to be able to vote, because I think it's a conflict of interest on his part. So the 10 judges that are there, unfortunately, are stacking up to me in a bad proportion of anti-gun judges, some of with past track records opposing my keep and bear arms. And we just didn't get a very good panel drawn, and the odds of getting a good panel drawn were not good based upon who sits there.
Okay, when we come back, Alan, if it's okay, I'd like to ask you to explain both Peruta and Richards in a little bit of detail so the listener has a little bit better idea of what we're talking about. Armed American Radio and Alan Gottlieb will be right back.
As people who carry a gun for protection, you and I both know if we're ever forced to pull that trigger, you know your life will change instantly. Liberal prosecutors, bleeding heart juries, they'd love to make examples of people like you and me. And that's why I rely on the legal and financial backup plan with my membership in the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They have a guide that will arm you with 18 proven strategies for effective self-defense, helping you stay out of jail, out of bankruptcy court, and home with your family if you're forced to defend your loved ones with a gun. So if you go to defendfamily.com right now, you can download this free concealed carry guide from my friends at the USCCA. Now, the guide is 100% free, and the 18 strategies it contains could very well save your life. Simply visit defendfamily.com, download your 100% free guide, defendfamily.com. Again, that's defendfamily.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, usccaonair.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to you join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You, too, can win by simply visiting the website usccaonair.com. usccaonair.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting usccaonair.com. Don't miss out.
Beginning this year, Magnum Research Incorporated, a car arms-owned company, is proud to bring the Baby Desert Eagle 2 back to the U.S. market. The Baby Desert Eagle 2 offers a double-action, single-action trigger and plenty of firepower. Available in 9mm, 40 S&W, and 45 ACP, several barrel lengths, and either steel or polymer frame, the Baby Desert Eagle 2 is an exceptional handgun value. For more information, visit MagnumResearch.com today. That's MagnumResearch.com.
One of the few guns that fits comfortably in your pocket, the North American Arms Guardian 32 ACP is the perfect combination of small size, high quality, and great stopping power. Convenient, reliable, and very effective. North American Arms stands behind the Guardian 32 ACP with a lifetime warranty. With standard capacity of 6+1 rounds in a pistol less than 4 inches in length, the Guardian ACP ships with two magazines and offers an optional 10-round capacity extended magazine. For more information, visit NorthAmericanArms.com. That's NorthAmericanArms.com.
Small, fast, and reliable. Introducing the new CCP, the ultimate 9mm concealed carry pistol from Walther. The CCP's innovative soft coil gas technology softens recoil and allows easy slide manipulation for greater control and accuracy. The small size, ergonomic grips, and light weight make the Walther CCP both easy to shoot and comfortable to carry. The Walther CCP. Learn more at WaltherArms.com.
As Americans, you have the right to bear arms. You also have the right to have and cook great food. Hey, what's up? This is AAR Shanto, and I just launched a great cooking guide. It's called Try This Dish. Why not spice up your dinner? All you got to do is go to irfnews.com. It's chock full of recipes, DIY kitchen tips, everything that's got to do with cooking. That's Try This Dish at irfnews.com. Give it a try today.
This upcoming segment of AAR is sponsored by the USCCA Education and Training Department. For your own toolkit or to become a certified instructor, visit teachuscca.com. That's teachuscca.com.
Love that tune. Welcome back to the program. I'm Mark Walters. This is Armed American Radio. And together, Alan Gottlieb and I are filling your prescription for freedom here on the Armed American Radio Network. Alan, let's go right to the two cases. Let's start with Peruta. You're going to be heading to the Ninth Circuit tomorrow. You'll be the oral arguments are being held on Tuesday. And you mentioned the two cases, both California, Peruta and Richard. Let's start with Peruta and bring listeners up to speed exactly what's at stake here.
Well, the Peruta case was the case that basically said that in San Diego County, the sheriff there was not issuing permits under a constitutional type approach, and that the May issue law in California was basically close to a no issue in San Diego County, and it was challenged. That case was lost at the trial court level, reversed and won on the appeals court level. And in that case, the attorney general was not the state was not part of the case. It was the sheriff in San Diego County, who decided not to appeal it. So the state attorney general decided to try and drop in. The court will also have to decide if she has standing enough to be able to be involved in the case. Even though letting her argue it, they're still going to have to make the decision that can she really bring the appeal to start with, to argue to begin with. So that case is more than a Second Amendment case. It also has the provision on it that she has authority to be part of that case. Right. Former Solicitor General Clement will be arguing that case on our side. And then on the Richards case, that was challenging the sheriff in Yolo County, California, who chose to give out no permits, period, basically under shall issue, not may issue. I mean, under may issue, not shall issue, but wouldn't give any out. So it technically was an all-out ban. In that case, that's a case brought by the Second Amendment Foundation. We noted the state to get involved in it early on. If they wanted to, they chose not to. So now they can't get involved in that. So it's the sheriff of Yolo County that's appealing that. And our case will be argued at the appeals court by Alan Gore, who won the two Supreme Court cases.
All right. Alan is a brilliant, brilliant attorney. Obviously, our fingers are crossed. I'm not going to lie to you. When I hear you say you're concerned, that concerns me. Because I know how involved you are here. So let me back up just a second. They did not have to agree to hear, and I'm talking about the Ninth Circuit in full, or en banc, did not have to agree to hear the case en banc. They could have let the panel judge decision stand, could they not?
That is correct. And, of course, in the case of the Peruta one, they also had the appeal to them to allow the attorney general to get involved in the case.
Right.
And so that they had to decide on that one as well. It took a long time for them to make a decision, but they made a decision. And unfortunately, the Ninth Circuit, you know, most judges have been appointed by, you know, Bill Clinton or Barack Obama. And so the numbers stack up against us pretty poorly in California, which is the Ninth Circuit, we all know, is a highly political court.
Yeah, it is, and it's also the most overturned court in the nation as well. Let's go to that for just a second. I think this is important because this brings in now the Palmer, the D.C. case. Victory in Washington, D.C. on the and Kathy Lanier, the police chief out there, just arbitrarily denying permits unless you show good cause. This is the East Coast rap version versus the Peruta West Coast rap version of pretty much the same type of case, right?
That's correct. And just to update the Wren case on that, earlier in the week, last week, D.C. noted their appeal to the appeals court and asked for a temporary stay, and the court, late Friday, granted them the temporary stay until the case is sort of not maybe fully heard, but until it's briefed with some arguments before the court. So there's an expedited schedule for briefing the court and appearing before it. But in the interim right now, there's now a stay, and nobody is getting a permit in D.C. again.
And this news broke when? Friday? Late Friday?
Late Friday afternoon. And it wasn't because of anything sinister. It's just that they filed it on Thursday asking for the stay. We got the reply on Friday, and the court had to read the replies. And by near the end of the day, they made their ruling. It wasn't a surprise ruling to us that it was made until the court's fully briefed and some more arguments get made before it at the appeals court level. But D.C. did not deserve to get it only because they've waited weeks and weeks and weeks to note their appeal. And if this is some kind of emergency stay that they need, because it's an emergency, well, then why didn't they appeal this weeks ago?
Right. They've been stonewalling here. Do we know whether or not Judge Scullin is upset about this? Because he has been pushing this and telling them. They've been literally, you've gone after him for contempt. They've just basically ignored Scullin's decisions here. Is he upset? Do you know? Have you gotten any indication there?
I have no idea. I'm sure he's not. I'm sure he's not a happy camper. I don't know why he would be. But the thing was is that they have the right to appeal his decision to the appeals court, and they just chose to dilly dally and not do it for a long period of time. And finally, now they did it, and then they asked for an emergency temporary stay until more arguments being made before the appeals court. And if they really wanted that, they should have done this weeks ago.
Yeah, okay. I'm not.
And again, Mark, if this was any other issue besides guns, they probably would not have gotten this emergency temporary stay. Because it's guns, the court will give it to them. And that's why we don't get – Second Amendment does not get treated like the First Amendment or the Fourth Amendment or the Fifth Amendment. And that's what we're trying to work to change, because obviously any part of the Bill of Rights should be treated the same.
That's why people need to get involved with the Second Amendment Foundation, what you just heard, because we are not treated the same way, and it costs money to litigate these. Please, I'll take this opportunity now. Head to saf.org. Donate whatever you can, $5, $10, whatever it is, donate. It's incredibly important that you donate to the Second Amendment Foundation and help. All right, very quickly before we have to cut out, I'm not feeling it in California right now. I don't like what I heard about that panel and the makeup of that panel. So I'm hopeful, I'm not going to hold my hopes up too high. Having said that, if both Peruta and Richards, if those two cases were overturned by the en banc panel, then that would seem to be, with Washington, D.C., and now the Ninth Circuit, prime opportunity, prime USDA prime for a Supreme Court challenge. Am I right?
Oh, we will definitely be appealing it. There's no two ways about it. And Peruta, I'm sure, would definitely be appealed as well. The Peruta one wouldn't be as clean because, quite frankly, they have to make the decision that the attorney general has the right to bring an appeal or argue an appeal to begin with. So that case may end up being settled on not Second Amendment grounds somewhere down the line. Right. But on Richards, it's clean Second Amendment, and my hope would be the Supreme Court would take it. But again, we need to know we have the five votes there to do it. And to me, that one's an absolute ban, even though the law says it can be a shall issue. They don't issue it to anybody, so it's not even a shall issue. It's a ban. So I think, quite frankly, at a minimum, as the law is applied, we should win. But again, we got to get it here. And it could be the Supreme Court's waiting for a case out of D.C. to come, and that's the one they want. They may not want the California one. We don't know. And then again, we may not have a fifth vote for Kerry. We don't know either. So we're going to push it to as far as we can. But again, we got to really care about who those judges are. And that 2016 election is critical, as you mentioned.
Absolutely perfect timing on that. Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation and the CCRKBA, the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms. And now you know where we would be without that organization and without Alan Gottlieb. We wouldn't be where we are today. Trust me. Alan Gottlieb, thank you for everything you do. You are a champion in the fight to defend the Second Amendment in the United States of America. And we appreciate everything you do. SAF.org. SAF.org. Go there and help. It is your responsibility as an American gun owner, as a law-abiding gun owner, and a freedom lover and a patriot. Trust me. Wow, frustrating stuff, but it is what we do. Remember, carry on, carry often, carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. Back with Dave Workman right after this.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org.